I have finally received my contributor copy of Diabolic Press.
Very nice.
It's very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. It's pretty cool. Came out pretty cool. Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I was just flipping through it before we started recording, and it seems pretty good quality.
So far, as of this recording, it's not for sale yet, though.
Yeah.
Which, that's poop. I don't even know. I don't have a publication date for anyone. Not a publication date. A sale date. Yeah, release date. That's the thing I'm trying to say. But it looks pretty cool, and you can go to my Instagram if you want to look at it, I guess. At CalebJames1986, my Instagram handle. Or you just go to at Diabolic Press on Instagram, and they also have it on there.
Yep.
So that's the first book of the month I've received. I'm hoping this week I will receive my copies of Horoscope 4 because they came in early. The, you know, corrected versions.
Yeah.
So I should be getting my box of books, and I'll be like, here's
even the hard being in the hardback?
I believe, yeah, this is my author copy. So, but you get a copy. Mm. You get a copy. Not you, Spencer.
No.
You got to pay.
You pay extra for
you
it.
You pay double. And then you double the double.
And I get the messed up one that doesn't even have the whole story in it. And then you have to buy another one.
and for some reason, my name says it's just Carlos instead of Caleb. Carlos. Yeah, so that's what you get, Spencer. But that should be soon, so hopefully I will, by the next book club, have some books to bring to show.
Though, now that we have both been getting some different things in and stuff, and like a lot of these are, like, you know, the physical magazines seem to be like, well, I think we have to change what magazine is, like, you know.
It's not like the magazines of, yeah.
Like that you'd used to find on, like, the newspaper rack and stuff.
Well,
I mean, I like them. I think that actually kind of works, being in, like, the smaller, you know, kind of.
Well, it's not as flimsy.
Yeah.
Like, when you get a magazine, you know, you think of magazines as flimsy, or even, like, the better quality magazines, they're still floppy.
Mm-hmm.
This, like, you can probably stand it up on a shelf.
Yeah, you could probably slide it in a book, you know, have it in a bookshelf.
What I think constitutes a magazine is the variety. So, like, an anthology is usually just stories and poems. This is mostly stories and poems, but like,
it has some art and stuff in
it,
too.
Yeah, this has art in it. Magazines often have reviews and,
like, interviews,
essays, interviews. I don't know. I haven't read through. I only read one story in this, so I just got it today. But it looks like one of these is a screenplay, maybe?
Oh.
Or, like, a play? I'm trying to find out what story that was. I just happened to notice because it had, like, the names and then, you know, what they're saying.
Oh, okay. Like the formatting of it.
Yeah. Yeah, this one. What is the name of this? Or unless it's a supposed to be a play inside of the thing. I don't know, but magazines, they sometimes, like, literary magazines, they'll have plays, screenplays, things like that. So it's the variety that makes it a magazine, I guess, but it's pretty cool. I like it. I like that I could say I'm in a magazine, too, not just an anthology
right,
or something like that. So that puts me at a couple anthologies. You know what, though? Because I got into the, like, e-zines are different. I don't know what constitutes an e-zine other than just being online. But I got accepted by Strange Days zine, and that's a print book. But I don't know, is that considered a magazine? Because that looks like an anthology to me.
Right, yeah.
Though, from just what I saw on Instagram, it kind of looks like the Diabolic Press printing, kind of, like, the size and stuff. So maybe it's all, maybe it also just nowadays the magazine's just considered what, like, the paper option and the print option on. Because I remember when I was looking at, I think it was on Lulu when I was thinking about doing the original short story collection for DPW, I was looking at the different options, and they did have one that was just, like, called magazine, and it was, like, the paper and the formatting. Well, not the formatting so much, just the cover and, you know, like, the way it's set up. So I don't know. Maybe that's, I'm not a graphic designer.
No.
I don't format books. I don't fucking give a hoot. But, yeah, folks, if you get a chance, check out Diabolic Press, issue number 1. I like being in the first issue.
Yeah, that's cool, too.
Because it just saw on the off chance that it takes off and becomes the next Cemetery Dance. I was in the number 1.
Number 1.
Which cost $5 billion to buy on eBay. So anyway, today, what are we talking about? Bookstores.
Bookstores.
And a bunch of other stuff unrelated to bookstores that lead up to bookstores. Probably should be a DBS episode, but we can't have another one until the 100th. So yeah. That's a special one. Anyway, folks, we will check you out and 27 minutes, because I added extra intro music.
Oh, nice.
It's like a 27. There's a guitar riff now. There's a whole piano recital in the middle. drums, drum solo. And then also, I thought it was a little weird. I'm not going to name any names, but a certain friend of the podcast decided they're going to do a big spoken word monologue for our intro too, like right in the middle. So the music goes on forever. You are listening to the DPW podcast, the Drunken Pen Writing Podcast. I abbreviate, but it's not really abbreviated on the YouTube, I don't think. Regardless, I am your host, Caleb James. With me today, because 5 seconds ago he said it should be Columbus. So, with me as always, Spencer, the Columbus Cum Collector Church.
God, what's with you?
I couldn't think of a C. You threw a C name at me.
Oh, there's so many things that begin with C, but then...
I told you this was the month of sperm for you. Just wait till next week. So what are you doing? What are you collecting it for? Is it yours? Or?
Yeah, it's going to definitely be mine. If I'm
You're
like,
not getting other stamps?
No.
Okay, sure?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not doing any comparisons.
Oh, boy. It's a little raunchier one. Something my wife might have come up with.
You right?
For some reason, she's all innocent, doesn't say gross things, but then when the few times we've had her come up with a name for the show, like, she comes up here, and it's just the grossest.
It's just dirty.
And kind of mean.
Yeah.
Mean-spirited. Leading up to the discussion about bookstores, let's have a little review of the weekend.
Okay.
We won't go too far into it because it kind of was, some of it was poopy.
Yeah.
So we went to the Arnold Fitness Expo in Columbus over the weekend. My wife, Spencer Church, the Columbus Congo. I don't like hearing it. I don't like saying it. You should have picked something better. And myself, we went on a trip. We booked an Airbnb. We're doing it right. We're like, all right, this will be okay.
All right.
Things started off on a strange note. So I took Friday off of work and Monday off of work, which I'm glad I took today.
Right.
And you took the weekend off, as well as Mindy. So we left. We dropped our dog, Nitro, the Jangler King here.
Yeah.
I don't know where he went. But
he's over there.
We dropped him off at a new boarding school because his old Jimmy Buffett-themed... kennel shut down. They retired or whatever. So this one, he had to play with other dogs. And he's like, oh, and you even had to do like a preliminary thing where they had to do a temperament test. He passed it, minor humping, but he had a good time, it seemed. So we took him there. Then like 9 something in the morning, we drove to Columbus, which is 2.5 hours away from where we are. We were like, nah, we won't do the Arnold Expo. We'll just do Saturday only.
Yeah.
So Friday, we... First thing we did, we went to the Loft bookstore because Spencer's never been there. I've been there a few times, and my wife hates bookstores, so it was perfect that we go to a bookstore you get lost at for hours. We'll circle back to that for the whole discussion of the episode. But to kind of recap the weekend, we did, I don't even remember, we did other stuff on Friday, didn't we?
We went and had meals at some places.
We went to, it was the choices for some reason. We went and checked into our Airbnb, I think, and then we went to get food, and the choices were, it was like a bag of nails or the rusty bucket.
Yeah.
We went with the rusty bucket, and it wasn't great.
No.
We had overpriced, not such great meal. Okay, whatever. We ended up at a Kroger, and it was kind of janky, and I feel like we did something else, but it's not really that important. The Airbnb is fucking gross.
Well, the drive around the expensive mall.
Yeah, we got the fucking, it doesn't matter. None of that shit matters. It was just a Friday of being in Columbus. All the actual stuff we planned on doing was Saturday and Sunday. So first things first, the Airbnb, there was an odor. We were sitting on the couch and I was like, this is a fucking stench. Like, you and Mindy don't have the sense of smell I do, because the slightest odor fucking just sets off alarms in my head.
It has to be strong. For me, like, it has to be like real strong for me to get it.
Literally just the faintest whiff from a mile away and I smell it. I must be like part shark or something. So I
Basset Hound.
Yeah, well, I guess that would be a better example. Sharks can smell blood. I can too. I made the mistake of lifting up the couch cushions And it was just rotten food underneath it, galore. Like French fries. There must have been a burger. I don't know. It was the worst. You smelled it then.
Yeah, yeah.
It filled up the room. I was gagging. It was fucking gross. So we put the things over, and we ended up putting blankets from one of the separate. There's three rooms. We ended up putting blankets from one of the rooms and draped it over the couch to kind of muffle the smell, like stifle it. Then we examined the rest of the Airbnb, and I won't go into details, though there were medical bandages underneath my bed, the actual mattress, so, and we just left that there. But there was many things that were gross. Fast forward a little bit, we decided to sleep in the very uncomfortable bed. Think about the grossness, but we were tired from the drive and everything. All right, we'll sleep. As soon as I start to fall asleep, the fucking dog place calls, the boarding thing. And they said, oh, your dog broke a nail. You have to pick him up immediately. It's like, we can't. We're in fucking Columbus. And then they were like, well, what about your emergency contact? And it was like, maybe, but, you know, it was a bunch of phone tag. We kept calling them. And eventually what happened was we had to get up at like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night and drive all the way back to Washington. Our emergency contact, which was just our old neighbor, luckily she was about to go to bed, so she was able to get the dog. She was able to pick up Nitro, and we had to pick it up, him up from her, and went home. Mindy decided all right, fuck it. You know, I struck out. She was just going to stay here with the dog for the weekend. Me and you made the wise decision to get 3 hours of sleep, wake up before six, and drive back. And the weather was pretty shitty on the way there on Friday, but it was just Silent Hill fog.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't see anything from where we live all the way to Columbus. I don't know what was happening. So that wasn't the most pleasant thing. We didn't go to the Airbnb straight away. We went just right to the convention because we paid extra for the early pass tickets. So we were going to fucking use them.
Yeah.
So skip around a little. We got to experience the expo. It was pretty fun.
It was all right.
I mean,
we were just, I think you and me just weren't quite in the right mindset to probably enjoy it as much.
Yeah.
Probably just because of everything that happened.
We were exhausted. I mean, even you tried a bunch of pre-workouts. Yeah. Like, we were just trying drinks and stuff to stay awake. We did try a bunch of machines and stuff they had there and lifted stuff. And, you know, it was fun for what it was, but like we didn't. It fills in fast, too. You get like 80,000 people in the fucking place. So we got to see some celebrities or pseudo celebrities.
We did get to points where we were trying to walk to places and we would just hit a wall of people where they were just standing because there was no room for anybody to stand. And it got very frustrating at times.
It got very annoying. But we probably spent half the day there. Too long.
Yeah, probably.
But we got to see some like Muay Thai fighting and stuff. It was Thai boxing.
Something like that,
People getting kicked in the head and stuff. And we saw different bodybuilders and lifting events. And so we got to experience it a little bit. Again, exhaustion. And then we walked around Columbus for 50 miles. Reasons I don't want to get into. And then we did some shitty bar hopping. Again, not really our idea. We were with a buddy who wanted to. We ended up at an arcade bar. That was kind of a dud. And then we're like, all right, it's like 5 o'clock. Me and Spencer are going to die.
Yeah.
So we go back to the Airbnb. For a kind of a shitty night of just playing on our phones and not doing anything.
Yeah, which at this time.
Which they were supposed to send a cleaner while we were gone. Never happened.
Didn't touch it. If they showed up at all.
And had the gall to tell us that when we checked out after complaining multiple times that we should make sure to change the garbage and take the garbage
out. Take the garbage out.
Which we did, but we shouldn't have had to. Apparently they waived the cleaning fee. So I should get $30 back for the cleaning fee. I forgot to check that. But.
What cleaning fee? For sending those people? Wait, they were going to fucking charge us for that?
Yeah. And a bookshelf fell down randomly. I don't know if that was what it was about. But it wasn't the greatest. On Sunday morning, we woke up and we went to the Rogue Factory, which I thought was pretty fun. We tried a bunch of random shit. If you go to our Instagrams, I think we had a short video of some of the things we were lifting. So at least it wasn't a total wash. And then we were tired, so we just drove back. And it wasn't everything it could have been. Things didn't go as planned. Oh, and Mindy got COVID, by the way.
Yeah.
So even if she went, she probably wouldn't have enjoyed it.
No, yeah.
Because she's sick as a dog right now, and we have to avoid her. Could you imagine her walking around the Arnold?
Oh, my COVID? God,
like,
yeah.
I don't feel good. Just slowly getting worse.
You literally just be dragging her by the foot through the thing.
Yeah. So that was kind of a disappointment. But anyway, going back to the very first day, which I thought was successful for us, was we went to the Loft bookstore. I've been there a couple times. You've never been there.
No.
It's a huge bookstore, and it's like a maze.
It is.
Multi-floor maze. So the topic of the episode is, what would your ideal bookstore be? Whether you ran it or you just like somebody, like say I was opening a bookstore, what do you think I would do to make a good bookstore? Because your one complaint was, they do give you a map, but it's like there's so much, and the way things are, there's not a lot of room. It's just like little aisles and stuff, and it's hard to find shit.
Mm-hmm.
So what would your ideal bookstore be?
See, I was kind of thinking about this because I was trying to figure out, like, would I just want it to be like one massive just floor layout, or like
multi-floor,
had like the multi-floor thing going on.
And budget, there's
yeah,
it's just dream scenario.
Yeah, I kind of like the multi-floor kind of like idea, because then you can like separate, because like that's like kind of how they did some of it, like there was like a lot of kids and like comic stuff down on the bottom floor, and like they kind of did it like that way.
It was like in rooms, so you had a YA room, had a graphic novel room, which is nice too, because then like you go to that side of the building and there's not a lot of people because that's not what they're shopping for. But the, again, the counterpoint is the general fiction section and then the genre fiction section, which are all kind of in the same areas, are very congested.
Yeah, and also I don't feel like they were that big. Yeah.
If anything,
there wasn't like a huge horror section or know what I mean?
But if anything, I feel like how the manga section was a pretty big open room.
Mm-hmm.
That should be like the general fiction section, right? Like a big open room, because that's what probably most people were buying.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because like there would be like, if anybody that was in a wheelchair or had, like, they wouldn't have been able to go anywhere past the ground floor.
Yeah, I guess I didn't even think of that. If you're handicapped in any kind of way, you're not getting around. Even if for some reason you were able to get up there, you wouldn't have been able to really, no one would be able to go around you, because it's literally just hallways.
Well, I don't even think like a wheelchair would have been able to fit through some of those hallways.
No, especially some of the side ones. I never thought of that, so I guess that's not really a handicap-friendly place. But I'm sure the staff would just get you what you need.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. But just, that's part of the fun, is going around and looking for some, looking for things.
But if I was...
definitely if you go that multi-floor route, you need, like, ramps or elevators or something like that.
But if I was a Columbus resident, I'd be there all the time, because one has a cafe, like, right next door, which is a cool cafe. And then two is just, like, they had a lot of sales. Like, every time I've ever been there, no matter what, I don't think I've ever bought a full-price book.
Yeah, even if it's, like, because even the ones, like, I got were, like, at least, like, you 5% off or something, something, like.
And then they just have, like, cool merch and stuff, too. If anything, it's just, like, too much stuff.
Yeah, I was almost thinking about grabbing one of their shirts, but just didn't do it.
What I would like to do, if I had the option of opening up a bookstore, would be a bookstore speakeasy.
Mm.
So I would have, like, a separate section where, not a full bar, because I feel like that's just asking for trouble, but almost like a gentleman's room. I wouldn't, actually have it as just a gentleman's only room, but like a gentleman's whiskey lounge or something.
Maybe like have it have that theme, but you're not actually selling alcohol. Like that could be almost like the cafe kind. Like,
Be like BYOB, because I'm not spending $80,000 or whatever the fuck to get a liquor license anyway. But if you had like the speakeasy, it would be cool, because then you'd have a separate room, like behind a bookshelf, which we've actually seen in person, which is really neat. But then that's where you can do events. Mm. Like you can have, even if you had a small bar, but then a stage, you do poetry readings, story readings, you could have stand-up comedy. You could actually have events and make it a place. Be honest, most places, bookstores aren't going to do well just as a bookstore.
Right.
That's why a lot of bookstores have cafes attached and things to get the people in.
Or just even like Barnes & Noble, like they have the cafe like you were saying, but they also have like... You get toys there, your Pokemon cards, stuffed animals. Like, you know what I mean? They have
at least 40% of the store is not books at
all.
Yeah. If not more. And depending on the Barnes & Noble. But I think that would be cool. As far as bookstore layout, I do like the multi-level, at least two floors. But I would... See, I like how the loft separates. Like, here's manga in its own room. Mm-hmm. And here's things. Like, it wouldn't have to be that large of a building. I wouldn't want the narrow hallways. I'm trying to think of some of the other places we've been to. Like that Phantoms of the Attic comic book shop we went to. Like that's kind of a cool modern layout, as it's just like a big room. But at the same time, you can't fit as much.
Yeah, there's like there's not a lot of room up there.
Yeah, so that wouldn't really work ideally for a bookstore. Because you have to remember, too, like, now you're thinking about, like, okay, well, the more room, like, the more levels I have, the more exits, the more stealing.
Right, yeah.
The more people could just, like, put shit in their pants and you wouldn't be able to catch them. It's like that loft. It's so big. It's such a maze. And the amount of people in there at any given time, it's like, you could probably get away with stealing fairly easy, I would think. I mean, like I said, they have more than just books. So, you know, while it's not the easiest to put a book in your pants, like a pair of socks or, you know, some of the weird different toys, there's like a lot of toys and stuff in one area. So I could see people jacking your shop.
Jacking their shit.
Maybe we'll open the Drunken Pen Writing Bookstore.
Yeah.
Booksellers.
Yes.
Bookshop. Bookshop would probably be the best.
Yeah.
I think, though, you definitely would have to have like a modernized room where it's just like digital stuff. Like, you know, maybe like a media center. I wouldn't be, like, I probably wouldn't sell DVDs or stuff like that. But I'm talking about like almost like when you go to like tattoo shops or different places that got like the couches and some TVs and different things. Like, again, just like a recreational area. Well,
like Barnes and Noble used to have like chairs and stuff around, right? Where you could
they
just
put
like
it on the outskirts.
Okay.
So they still have them. But yeah, they're always often like if you look in the areas where no one's, which makes sense, like don't put them in busy areas. But there are Barnes and Noble still that I've been to where, say it's like the horror section, they'll have like a nice chair just in there, like, you know, off to the side that you can just sit and read.
One thing I would like to have, like, I'd at least like to have a section of where it's like, you know, used or almost kind of like the half price kind of deal to where, like, you know, we have like, you know, all this new stuff and stuff like here, but we also have this section of like either stuff that might be a little bit cheaper because it's just like people maybe trade something in, or, you know, you got like somebody trade something in, but it's something nice, like an older, nicer, like first edition of something, or like a cool cover edition or something like that.
That was the thing about the loft. Out of the hundreds of thousands of books they had, it just seemed like they were all new books.
Yeah. Because like, that's what I was, the way you were describing it before, like, that's what I was kind of, I was thinking, like, oh, they probably have some new stuff, but I was like, I was expecting like a lot of older, like, kind of, you know, kind of stuff.
Like Caliban.
Yeah.
It's like mostly used stuff. No, it wasn't like that. I like Caliban. I mean, it's just a small used bookstore, but they have the downstairs for the pulp stuff. And
we got to go back there sometime soon.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Just not walk across the entire length of Pittsburgh to get there.
No, that's not preferable.
That was dumb.
That was really stupid. I didn't think it was that long, but it was. That one we went to in Ann Arbor, I can't.
Oh, the
Literati.
Yeah, Literati.
I like that they had the staff recommendations on a lot of the books and stuff.
Yeah, I like when things do, when like there's things like that. It's almost kind of like the old like DVD rentals place. You know, you'd have the staff picks and stuff like that.
And they had an upstairs and downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Though I liked that they had a typewriter you could like test out.
Well, they had an upstairs, downstairs, and like a basement, right?
Maybe. I know that, well, whatever the basement was, that's where the typewriter was. The only problem with that is, and I guess it's just with most bookstores like that, it was just like, oh, this is like the photography, art books, and, you know, stuff like that. So it's not like no one's ever down there. But I always like the idea of like the dungeon, you know, like the bookstore dungeon where you have a room that's just like, I would probably do like rare books. Like,
right.
You couldn't just, like, people just can't go down there. They would have to either have somebody go with them or, you know, you'd have to sign in and get like a lock or a key for the lock or something. But then just have like rare books and hard to get books. Yeah, half price books. They always have like the glass shelves and you have to ask somebody if you want to look at one of the rare books. But I like the idea of a whole room. Of course, you could always go theme too, which probably go like along the lines more of a comic shop. I'm trying to think like some of the other bookstores, because we usually try to go to a bookstore every city we go to.
Yeah.
Did we go to one in Cleveland? I think we went to a comic shop maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because I don't think we really had time there. There was any like one like close by. Either the times we went to Cleveland.
It's a hard line that you have to set like with a bookstore too, because like the loft, I feel like it's too much.
It's a little overwhelming.
I always buy something there, but then like I see so many cool things, and then you always end up talking yourself out of, oh, I'm not going to get this because I'm going to get that. And then it's like, it's too much. And sometimes you just like get overwhelmed and just don't buy anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like I was having trouble finding some stuff because like I was trying to look for stuff, but then couldn't, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but, yeah, but I was able to find a couple things. But
And then some bookstores are too sparse where it's just like, oh, we have this section of some newer books and then a couple shelves here of this stuff. And it's just like, eh, you don't spend a lot of time in there. So that's no good either. I do want to go to that White Whale in Pittsburgh because I think they have a cafe inside the bookstore. But that's it, like from what I remember seeing just walking past it, it looked like it was pretty cool. Hmm. But I think probably a used bookstore is a better idea just for the fact that like books cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you're going to have sales, I don't think you're going to get a lot of business. That's why I said like you need something that's going to get people in for entertainment reasons. So I think like the big thing if you're going to have a bookstore is have it so during just like regular operating hours, yeah, it's just a bookstore maybe, but have a lot of events. Like, you know, live music and, you know, maybe have some, but not catered food, but if you have like a friend or something who does baking or desserts or whatever, you know, you got a buddy that runs a pizza shop, like have stuff like that. Obviously, book clubs are one that most bookstores have.
Signings.
Signings is a big one if you have a lot of signings. I'm trying to think like of Collins' method. Like he has probably one of the best comic shops, the Pittsburgh Comics,
yeah,
that I've been to. Because we've been to a bunch of comic shops, but, I mean, he has live signings sometimes. Obviously, he does a free comic book day, but he seems like he gets a good bit of business in there all the time, even though it's not a place people can walk to. It's not in a downtown hub. It's like almost like a suburb type of, like a setting where you have to drive to get there.
Well, he one thing that he does have, which is something you'd have to think about with your store, too, is that it has its own parking. That's a big deal.
That's a problem with a lot of bookstores, including the Loft. Fucking on-street parking. Like, you have to find somewhere where you have to park and walk. Like, sometimes that'll deter people just from going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, so having your own parking lot, that's a better idea if you could just have, like, a storefront and it's just the actual, some kind of parking setup.
Yeah, at least it's something.
Well, like, that building was for sale right next to our gym, and they have a back parking lot, and I thought that would make a really cool bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was, like, a refurbished law office or something. It was like, ah, no one in this area has, they can't read. Nobody can read. It's like you have a bookstore, it'll fail. No one will go to it.
Well, we haven't had a bookstore in this town for almost like a decade.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the mass chain bookstores like Borders or so, they always shut down. So, but we definitely need to go to more bookstores, Spencer.
More bookstores.
Bookshops.
Like I said, we should, now that the weather's starting to get better, we should try to figure out maybe a Caliban and what did you say, White Whale?
White Whale, that's a downtown, I think, or maybe the Strip District.
So that one shouldn't be too hard to...
No. What we would need to do when we go to these bookstores is not just go to them as bookstores, preferably find like the event they're doing. Mm. So you know, we go to White, especially if we go to like the White Whale, I think that's what it's called. Like find when they're doing like an author signing or because they always do events from what I saw online. If you could get like that'd be a good reason to go. It's like, okay, I'm going to go check out the bookstore, but then I'm also going to be involved in something versus us just like, well, you're looking at stuff, looking at stuff because like they would go to fucking Barnes & Noble for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd probably pay. Well, I don't know. Barnes & Noble's kind of expensive since they fucking shit the bed with their new. Like, why even be a member anymore?
Right.
We have a free program, and you don't get barely any discount. I don't even know if you get a discount now.
It's if you spend some, like, you know, like I think it's like the you spend like $100, you get $10 back kind of thing. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, fuck you, Barnes and Noble.
No more free shipping. No, you know, that's if you want to pay for the
extra options. Yeah, I hope they got a business now. Fuck them. Fuck them. I hope nobody reads books ever again.
And like that sucks because like it's like I tried to get stuff from like Barnes and Noble because like I just don't want to keep on giving Jeff Bezos like more of my money when I don't have to. But like they're not making it easy on themselves.
No, and Amazon's almost always cheaper. And,
right. Yeah.
And usually you get the book faster. Yeah, it sucks because there's times where I bought like a $50 or $60 special edition book at Barnes and Noble and I look online, it's like $30. Fuck. Anyway, I don't want to talk about bookstores anymore. So let's talk about butts. You're sick. You're sick. So that was the Drunken Pen Writing Podcast. We're still exhausted. We went to the gym today for some reason, too.
You got a decent workout in.
Yeah, it was all right, but now I'm tired. So anyway, folks, if you want to check out, what are we checking out? Our Instagram and stuff.
Instagrams.
X. Facebook. I only post the podcast on X. I don't use it for anything else now. Same with Facebook, really.
Yeah.
On Instagram, I barely do anything. I fucking don't use social media. But if you really want to see what we're doing, you can go to @DPWpodcast. Mainly, you can go on there and just find us, I guess. Mm-hmm. We're probably tagged and stuff. You could check out Spencer. You have an OnlyFans, right? You can go to CalebJamesK.com because I will be updating. See, I want to put the Diabolic Press as, you know, my latest publication because I got the book. But like I said, it's not for sale yet.
Right, so that makes
I don't have anything to link to. I feel like that makes me look like a jackass. So hopefully Mitch gets on selling the shit.
Yeah.
Because people have been asking about it. They want to buy it.
Yeah, I want a copy.
The only thing I could think of is he just wanted to, the contributors get their all their copies first. So I think there's only like 11 people involved in it, so shouldn't be too much. But some of them I know, like one girl, she's from, one lady's from Scotland. So I was like, that probably a fucking nightmare.
That's going to take a while.
I sent her a picture of the cover and her story. And was like, hey, because she was in Horoscope, and I found out she was in this, and we were talking about it. And I was like, because at first we were like, because, you know, it was a brand new magazine. I was like, is it real? Mm-hmm. So like, are they just going to steal our stories? So I sent her a picture. I was like, hey, it's real. I got it. So, you know. Rejoice. I don't know if you'll get it, but at least you know you exist in this print. So you could do all that, and we'd really, Caleb would appreciate. I don't know about Spencer. What Spencer would appreciate if you'd go to his OnlyFans at the Columbus Cum Collector Church. Could have used another C verb that's worse than collecting.
Yeah.
They're out there. I'll let the fans use their imagination. So anyway, we thank you for listening. Not next week, but I think March 18th we have a guest.
Oh, do we?
Let me see who that is. It's I think it's another saggy meniscus person.
Oh, I do think I remember you mentioning something. I just don't think I remember hearing an actual like date, recording date.
Yeah, March 18th, CJ Spataro. I'm hoping I'm saying her name right. And her book looked really interesting. I'll have to go back and check it out. But yeah, so keep an eye out or an ear out, I guess, for that one. RK Bookshop, we're interviewing a bunch of more people this week too, so I guess look for that. I don't know when his scheduling, like Bryce's, like, does, I don't know if he just posts like the videos and stuff for the interviews like a week after they come out, or because it's like the publishing's always different because he publishes an episode every other Monday. Mm-hmm. But then if we have like an interview or something, I don't know if he tries to always get that on the in-between week, or if he coordinates with the people, because sometimes he wants the people to say, hey, let me know a week in advance. Mm. That way we can coordinate and do promotions and stuff. So that's too much work for me.
Yeah.
I edit and fucking schedule like the day before. It's like, that's good. That's done. Just
get it out there.
So thank you for listening. We'll check you out next week. Bryce, what are you doing?
Trying to, you know, game.
What?
This game is really hard.
Pac-Man?
Yeah.
Dude, you're supposed to be playing the game for next week's episode of Arcade Bookshop.
I mean, I will. I'm really close to beating this.
Right. And what about the book?
Huh?
We're supposed to finish a book for the podcast, too?
Oh, yeah. I finished that last week. Yes!
Oh, did you finally beat it?
Uh-huh. The first level.
Oh, boy.
You can listen to new episodes of Arcade Bookshop every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your pods. You'll always find us with a controller in one hand and a book in the other.
Hey Caleb, you wanted to see me?
Ah, Spencer, my good fellow. I've been expecting you.
Yeah, so did you want something or...
Want? Goodness no. Require.
Require?
Yes. I require your services for the briefest of moments.
Okay.
Surely you can see the predicament I'm in.
Well, actually, no, I can't. I lost my glasses at the pub last night.
A pub, you say? Surely you can't be serious.
As serious as a fart during a rector exam. And stop calling me Shirley.
Rightio. Anyway, if your spectacles were affixed upon your face, you'd see that I, the host of the most prodigious writing and books podcast in the business, has been immobilized by a rather substantial stack of fallen folios.
What?
My to-read pile finally fell on me while I was taking a nap.
But you're on a podcast table.
I hardly see how that matters.
And you're naked!
I hardly see how that matters.
Dude, your hairy ass is touching my drink coaster.
I hardly see how that matters.
It matters to me!
Can you just unbury me?
No way. Your reckless reading got you into this mess.
Blockhead! Wait! Don't go! There's a copy of War and Peace wedged in my taint! Spencer! Can you at least leave me a bottle of whiskey? Hello? Can't get enough drunken nonsense? Listen to new episodes of the Drunken Penwriting Podcast every Tuesday wherever you get your pods.